Rick Emerson Radio Show.
Hello.
503-733-2970. It's been one of those weeks. It's been a couple weeks like this. I'm not complaining. I always like the best laid plans of mice and men and Rick Emerson, and then just...
I'd rather have too much going on than too little, you know?
No, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, it is you really never know what's going to happen. There's Chex Mix. Great. All right. Storm Large, ladies and gentlemen. All right. 503-733-2970. Unpleasant meat smell in Grandma's freezer. You know, we might take that here in just a skosh. We got Jim Roop coming up here in a second. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, I meant to say we have Tim Riley coming up here in a second. Ladies and gentlemen, let's thank you. Good God. Jim Roop in Los Angeles, brother.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you for acting as though this is spontaneous and you're now just calling in for the first time today. God,
every time I talk to you, it feels like the first time, baby.
Thank you, sir. That's great. It's just one of those days, man. One of those weeks, actually. I'm with Sarah. I'm not complaining. But it's one of those weeks where we lay out the show. We lay out what you plan the game we're going to plan and play the game we know we can do, the work we know we can do. And then it all just goes to seed on us.
Someone's always going to bring a different offense than you expected.
We're not carping about it anyway. But sometimes those stories about a guy getting pushed over in a latrine, they just go longer than one expects because they're fantastic.
Scoutmaster once.
Because they're what?
Yeah, we dumped our scoutmaster once.
Oh, that's brilliant! Really?
Yeah.
He had
all that blue stuff all over him, along with everything else.
Now, does that stuff stain you?
Oh, yeah.
Back in
the 70s it did, man. I think he's still blue, if he's not dead.
That's some of that. Whereas, I mean, I have that fear. I really do. And to the point that I really try not to use those standalone latrines, because I know that there's going to be some little bastards lurking outside, going, bring him over, you know, and then it's like, and again, it's like, I don't even know how you get home. There's no cab company going to take you home. None of your friends are going to pick you up.
You know, when I was doing during the Michael Jackson trial, it's weird how everything always gets back to that.
He's the common touchstone.
They had, I don't know, it's just dozens of these porta potties lined up for the press that were there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how everybody has the cell phones and the Blackberries on their belts.
Sure.
There was always someone losing a BlackBerry or a phone in the pooper.
Oh.
And, you know, I mean, one of our camera guys came out just white as a sheet. And I thought, oh, man, what kind of toxic waste is going on in there? And he said, I just dropped my BlackBerry down that hole. I said, why don't you throw $100 down there? Because I ain't fishing that thing out.
Seriously.
BlackBerry.
I mean, just, yeah.
I'll go in there for $100, but I ain't going in for just a BlackBerry.
Oh, God, there's just no way. And, I mean, it's like... Yeah, I had a friend of mine, actually, my friend Rob, when I was growing up. I really swear to God, we're not just going to talk about latrines, but when I was growing up, my friend Rob dropped his keys.
Mm.
It wasn't just the car key. It was the ring of keys. Drunk, of course.
And he did.
Now, I was not there. This was a story I heard later. But he's at the state fair, whatever redneck activity. He's loaded, you know, blitzed out of his mind. So he's in the latrine, and he's, you know, he's candy, you know, and it's just all of his balance, the equilibrium, it's all off. I don't even know why you would have your keys, unless you're wearing a chastity belt. I don't really know why you'd have your keys out in the bathroom. But, man, the keys drop in, and as he described it, even in his drunken state, it's like this one time that I dropped my cell phone into a hot cup of coffee. And my girl-like scream could be heard throughout the neighborhood, I'm sure, because the cell phone, I was standing, it tumbles through the air, and it's like a miniature slow-motion horror movie. I look down, and I see it heading for a huge coffee mug. And as the cell phone is plunging down towards the coffee mug, it's like, no, you know, and my hand... It's like if this was a surveillance tape, you would have seen the cell phone falling, and then immediately after it, like a missile, my hand, about half an inch behind it, all the way down... Following it right into a plunging, wrist deep right into a huge steaming mug of freshly brewed coffee, burning my hand, screaming, you know, pulling the cell phone out. It's so hot, I then throw the cell phone across the house. It lands on the kitchen floor. Battery compartment shatters right off the back of it. My hand is burning. I'm screaming, running around the house. Running into the fridge, jamming my hand between like two frozen chicken thighs. They're in there just trying to keep my flesh from falling off. And then, of course, this is the part I told on the air that I then went to the Verizon store. And I walk in and because the cell phone, of course, is toast. It's not working. I walk into the Verizon store. I go, well, that's the strangest thing. My cell phone just quit working. And the guy looks at me and goes, did it now? And I said, yeah, I don't really know how to explain it. It was working fine. And yeah, you'll have to give me a new one. And what I did not know is they put a little sticker on the inside that's water sensitive. And when it gets wet, it changes color. So I'm playing dumb. I'm like, yeah, I don't know whether. The phone just quit working. I can't explain it. And he just takes it up. He looks at the back and he goes, yeah, it got wet. Buy a new one over there. $200. Bye. And I was just like, well, okay. Well, you know, what can you do? So there you go. So there you go. So that's...
No, you can't put one over on a cell phone seller.
No, and he was like an idiot 19-year-old. And it's, and even I couldn't even fool him. So there you go. All right. Well, I mean, we talked about this yesterday. This is the hideous O.J. Simpson thing.
Yeah, but we heard from the Goldman family yesterday.
Is that true?
Yeah, we talked to the Goldman. Well, plus Fred and the other one. What's the girl's name? I forgot her name. I just talked to
Kim.
Kim, yeah. I was on Larry King last night, too.
Larry King.
But I wasn't able to get to Fred. I got to Kim, though.
Oh, man.
They're just livid, man. They're seething.
Oh, Fred Goldman. I get the feeling that Fred Goldman, for the last whatever, he just spends his days sitting in a small room, drinking gin right out of the bottle and just kicking a wall with his foot.
And talks like it.
Yeah.
S.O.B., you know, I mean, he just pulls no punches.
Oh no, he's never. Yeah, that's a guy. He's never going to let it go.
No. Well, I wouldn't either.
No, I'm not saying he. I'm not suggesting he should. No, don't get me wrong. I'm saying, you know, but some people who have had a tragedy, they get that kind of, you know, religious zen, and it's like they sort of, well, the hate was consuming me, and I had to move on.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that they forget or they forgive, but they just sort of realize, like, you know what else? You know, I can't live in that. I got to move on, or it's just going to... He's a guy who is still, like, every day for him is like, you know, 1995.
Yeah, and O.J. will be an animal forever. Okay, in his opinion, is we're near a human being.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And so
you know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no. But so what? So they were just must have been off the charts.
Oh yeah, they're just. And you know what? And one thing that Kim said yesterday was that, you know, as much as they want people not to watch that Fox show, boycott Fox Television, boycott that book, the more they talk about boycotting that, she realizes the more chances people are going to tune in to see what this idiot has to say.
Yep.
And she says, but I got to say it. I got to say 100 times, don't watch it, don't watch it, don't watch it. But half of the people, because I said it so much, are going to watch it.
Absolutely. I mean, the only thing I can really say is that when the book comes out, I will do everything, and I'm saying this right now in front of God and everybody, I will do everything I can to get a free copy for me and everybody I know so that no money goes to that guy.
Right.
That's it, because his deal is to get the money and then spend it as quickly as he can so the Goldmans don't get it, right?
Right.
God, the guy's just, he's just, I mean.
And Fred Goldman said last night, I know I'm not going to get a dime from this. I'm never going to get a dime from this guy, but it's not about that.
Right.
He could care less about the money as much as he just wants this guy to pay for murdering his son. That's right. What he wants.
Right. Well, he will not be happy until O.J. Simpson is taken out back and beaten to death with a hammer.
True.
I mean, that's it, man. And Judith Regan, the publisher, and how, boy, Fox, is this Fox or Fox News?
Fox Network.
Yeah. Because, you know, because Judy, I mean, this is not even really an interview so much as it is an infomercial, because correct me if I'm wrong here, but O.J. is being interviewed by Judith Regan, who is his publisher, not even by a reporter.
And she calls it a confession.
Ugh.
And what's interesting, if you've seen a picture of the cover, the book says, the book's title is If I Did It. The word if is in white, and I did it is in red.
Well, I mean, she... I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, she sees the money. I mean, this, you know, if O.J., I got to be honest, O.J. called us up tomorrow and said, hey, I want to come on and talk about If I Did It. I mean, you know, how can you can't say no to that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no way.
Because they'd go to the next guy and everybody'd listen to him.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, that's the thing. It's going to get out there. People are going to watch it. You just got to, and so this is November 27th. Is this already taped? Is it already in the can?
It has to be, because I've heard excerpts from it.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you heard the one where he supposedly blubbers and my kids can't hear me say this?
No, only thing I've heard him talk about is blood.
Oh, and where he says whatever whoever would have thought to be
blood up to their elbow or something like
blood
that.
Blood
up their arm.
Up to their elbow. Can I ask you this? And I don't mean to be morbid. Well, I do mean to be morbid, but this is something we're all thinking. Are you amazed that somebody hasn't killed him?
Yes.
I mean, I'm not.
I was surprised that he was alive a month after the verdict.
I am stunned.
I thought Goldman was going to pull out a little Beretta and just tap him right there in the courtroom.
Yeah. I can't. It boggles, and especially because he's not in hiding. I mean, he's out there. There's that video that came out a couple months ago of him, like, whooping it up in a nightclub somewhere with some hoes. And it's not like he's, I mean, you can, he was trying to do, he's trying to do that auction or whatever where he auctioned off a bunch of his crap. I mean, he's, you know, he's around. You can find him. It stuns me that somebody hasn't gone up and just put one in his head. And I'm not, again, I'm not, obviously, violence wrong, don't kill anybody, not right. It is amazing.
I understand, but what you're saying is it's surprising it hasn't happened.
That's what I'm saying.
So many people hate him. I mean, and it's real hate. And it's I don't know. This guy's got some sort of deflection shield.
He is protected from on high by the Prince of Darkness.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. Deal with the devil. That's all.
That's an album waiting to happen.
Right there, man. All right. Well, I mean, it's just...
You know, I hate to say it, but I'm going to have to watch it.
Oh, no, we'll...
Because I know that... Yeah. You know, there are people who are going to want to talk about it the next day on the radio.
I'll be right here when to talk about it. I'm horrified, but at the same time, I'm not going to deny, you know, I'm not going to deny what, I mean, it would sound so false to everybody if I tried to be all like, I'm not going to watch any such trash. Of course I am. But it
it's
is possible.
It's kind of our job to.
It really is.
If you don't, then your listeners are going to be very disappointed the next day.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's why I see a lot of movies that I would not otherwise probably see.
Yeah.
Because you got to be able to talk about it. And this is, I mean, for you know, good, bad, and different, it's a story. So, I can't wash off the ick. It's not,
I hear you, boss.
Not unlike the blue crap out of a latrine. There you go. Exactly. Little comedic callback. Jim Roop, my friend, we will talk to you soon. Enjoy your Southern California day, my friend.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Jim Roop in Los Angeles. All right, there you go. Good God. All right. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson studio here in just a moment. Tim Riley, we will revisit the Ministry of Truth. And so forth. Oh, God, somebody sent me the picture. I'm not even going to read this. Somebody sent me the picture, though, about this woman who was glued to the couch after death.
Oh, no.
No, I'm not going to. I'm just saying, somebody sent me photos. Like, here, check out the sofa. All right. There you go. Thank you.
From the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, I have a bunch of new A's here if you want to reload that. But first.
All right.
The long-awaited reopening of Highway 18 will get underway tonight. Remember, a whole bunch of trees fell there, and people couldn't get over the coast to gamble.
Yep.
Which is a bad thing. Okay, let's do this. Senator John McCain talked politics today after filing paperwork to form an exploratory committee for a run for the White House in 2008. McCain speculated on why voters swept Democrats into control of Congress last week.
They rejected us because they felt we had come to value our incumbency over our principles, and partisanship from both parties was no longer a contest of ideas, but an even cruder and uncivil brawl over the spoils of power.
You know, this would be a lot more convincing if he didn't live now in George W. Bush's hip pocket.
McCain says the Republicans lost a lot in the midterm elections.
We lost our principles and our majority, and there is no way to recover our majority without recovering our principles first.
They rejected the current Iraq plan.
We're in one heck of a mess in Iraq. And the American people told us loud and clear last week that they're not happy. They're not happy with the course of this war. Neither am I.
Thank you, America, for keeping democracy alive.
I thank you for keeping the faith with their faith and for lending your hearts and minds to the enduring and noble cause of preserving in our time the greatest experiment in human history.
Who is he talking to there? And about
anybody who will listen.
Just on a street corner.
All right. Well, after seeing the chaos of Hurricane Katrina, city councilor in the tiny Idaho town of, what's his town? Oh, Greenleaf. Population 862 has come up with a novel idea. Ordinance 208 passed by the city council yesterday tells residents who do not object on religious or other grounds to keep a gun at home in case they're overrun by refugees from the Gulf Coast. It's not that it'll ever happen here, but we could get refugees, and what'll we do? They've caused trouble just about everywhere.
Shoot them, apparently. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Rick, the man or woman who finally puts O.J. in the ground will probably be the most famous person to kill anyone since O.J. himself. Not that we advocate that. We do not. Makes you... Killing is wrong. Makes you wonder why it hasn't happened sooner. Byrne and Beaverton. I really do think about that. I really do. All right. Well, let me quickly get these calls, and then here's what we'll do. Scotty, we're going to take caller five here. We get the final pair of Corman Conway tickets. We'll take caller number five here, 503-733-2970. 503 733-2970. Later on, we got Lycus coming up, etc., etc. Donna Mike at 7, and all of that. Let me get real quickly. Is this, okay, now is this Sarah from Puerto Rico? Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Sarah?
Yes.
Is this the Sarah from San Juan?
Yeah, although I'm not in San Juan right now. I'm in New York.
Are you in, so this is, now how many, is it like a, are you staying there for the day, for the night, or is it just like a changeover on the way here?
It's a, yeah, connection flight.
Now it says here on the, it says on the screen that you sent us something.
I sent you?
Oh, Scotty, what are you saying? Oh, no, that we sent you. Okay, you, no, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Scotty has typed this on the screen. Did you get your package? I'm sorry, I thought that was the content of your call. All right, no, we did send you, yeah, we sent you like a bunch of, like, station t-shirts and crap as well, so you can encourage listening there in Puerto Rico.
I did, thank you very much.
So, Storm was here, and, so she's gonna, you were gonna be at the Crystal, Ballroom on Saturday, which is fantastic.
And I just wanted to ask if you knew what you were going to unleash upon your listeners the moment you played DOA.
Oh, the DOA by Blood Rock. Which, now see, in my own defense, for the longest time, I thought that was a song about a car crash. I didn't really know it was about a plane crash. And then as I was listening to the song, I'd realized that was in fact the case. So, you know what? What can you do? It's but we've decided that that's going to be a that's just going to be a tradition now. And every time somebody on this program has to fly anywhere, we will just play DOA beforehand, just to make it a more memorable experience for all.
Thank you. Because I just had the three most traumatic hours of flight in my life. It's horrible.
Sorry. Well, the Rick.
I'm going to just die the entire time.
The Rick Emerson Show does like to affect the lives of its audience. All right, Sarah, we're losing your phone, so we're gonna put you back on hold, and we're going to let you go. You're in New York. We're kind of looking yourself on Scott out there. But Sarah will be in town for Storm and the Balls of Sheppens, Crystal Ballroom on Saturday. And our final call, we'll break. We'll come back with the Conway Corman tickets. Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
There I was, Rick. I had volunteered to do a little bit of charity work, and so it was me, my sister, and a couple friends.
Uh-huh.
And there was this woman who... it had just been put on the schedule that we were going to help her defrost her freezer.
Okay.
And repair, like, a fence in her yard. So we went there, and it turned out that apparently she suffered from a touch of obsessive-compulsive disorder. Everything in her house that had ever entered had not left. There was trash on the table, plates with food on them, where apparently they had just decided to buy new plates rather than clean the old ones.
So it is sort of like living with Sarah and myself, except without the ever taking out of the trash.
Do you have any dead cows in your yard?
No, I don't,
okay,
actually.
It's not quite that bad, then.
Well, all right, then.
It was a dairy farm, and there were cows in the yard that had been dead so long, they were just hairy bones. So anyway, we go down into the basement, and... there are bags of trash hanging from the ceiling, compartmentalized, like plastic bags, twisty ties. Every pair of clothing anybody in her family ever owned was hanging on one wall.
Good God.
We come to this freezer. The freezer, the door wouldn't shut for some reason, and then we saw it was because there was kind of looked like a great big snow cone in there, because like it kind of looked slushy, and she had all this meat, and... it was being stored in this freezer, but the freezer had gone so long without being defrosted that the door would no longer shut. There was just this solid block of ice protruding about 6 inches out. It was just fleshy and filled with blood and dead flies.
Oh, there's the money line right there. Tell me that there are photographs of this house somewhere.
There are. I do have pictures. You can imagine the smell was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I managed to get out of being the person who defrosted the freezer, but I can tell you that the main tool for defrosting it was a shovel and many, many garbage bags.
God bless you, sir. Thank you.
I have a quick follow-up if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Okay, different trip. Me and about 10 other people were at this swimming hole. Upstream a little ways, there's a waterfall. Everybody else was kind of in the swimming hole. I kind of wandered my way up with my cousin and a couple other people. And we see this sort of hairy brown thing floating in this eddy where it's connected to the stream, but it's out of the current.
Right.
And we realized it was a dead pig. So we got some sticks.
Really? When does this... Okay.
And let's hurry to the end. Let's
move along here.
We just kind of shoved it out into the current. And then you just... All you have to do is listen. Just people further downstream. Hey, what's that thing?
Okay, that's funny. All right, it was worth my story time with Kevin. Thank you, yes, right. Really, that really made it this whole horrible journey worthwhile.
Anyway, talk to you later.
All right, thank you, sir. There you go. God bless you. All right. And we're done. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We'll come back after this. Give away the final pair of tickets to Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. Good God. Like is at 3. Don and Mike at 7. Heavens. All right, back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. One of the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Rick, in 2003, I picked up my son from his first year at college in L.A. I think he means Louisiana. As a joke, when we got to the cattle sea at Coalinga, oh, this is what Storm was talking about. Oh, okay, no. I hit the auto down button and all the windows went open. I laughed like a geek in a video game store and my son said, Dad, do you realize the reason you smell that is the vaporized oils from the cow feces filling your nasal passages, right? Worst thought ever. Storm rules. Bob. Yes, she does, sir. Yes, she does. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's now...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
This show, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
Let's now welcome Scotty J to the Rick Emerson Studio. We'll give away the final pair of tickets to Tim Conway, Harvey Korman. Tomorrow at the Schnitzer, their farewell performance. Tim Riley and I will be emceeing. All right, Scotty J, how are you today, sir?
Doing good.
All right. Now, here's the thing. Is this going to go to... is Ted here? Ted, hello.
Hello.
Hello, sir. Are you prepared to go see Tim Conway and Harvey Korman tomorrow?
Definitely.
Fantastic. We're really just doing this for show. We'll ask an odd number of questions. I will defeat Scotty J in a humiliating fashion for him, and then you will go see Tim Conway and Harvey Korman.
Excellent.
All right. Just hang tight, sir. We'll just do, I don't know. We're kind of running short on time. Let's do 3, 5, something like that.
We have time. Okay. We've got time. Okay. How many tickets to Paradise did
Rick.
Oh, we got it.
Oh, come on.
I said up.
Come on.
While you were saying Rick,
fine.
Too.
That is correct, Scotty
okay.
J.
Enjoy it because it's not going to happen again,
baby.
Friend. Savor the flavor because it won't happen again.
Okay. You're kind of a sore loser, aren't you, Rick?
I'm not a sore loser.
What is the name of the carnival arcade machine that made Josh big in Big?
Rick, is it Zoltran?
That's close.
Zoltan, something like that.
Zoltar. You don't get it.
No,
okay.
I'd say he got it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forget.
Listen, Ted.
I forgot that Ted gets the ticket. All right. Yes, Rick, you got it right.
Thank you, Ted.
All right. According to a 1970 Traffic album, Who Must Die? I have no idea what that is.
Rick, Romeo.
No.
That's a Bon Jovi movie.
Rick, wrong.
wait. Yeah.
Okay, you won't get it. It's John Barleycorn.
No,
I hate Traffic. I really despise that band.
Okay, of the 3 child stars of Different Strokes, how many of them have been charged with a crime?
Scott. Rick.
Got it.
I think I beat you. 2.
Wrong.
3.
Ooh! I should know that.
Yeah,
I did
should.
Know it, but...
You know, I'm under-caffeinated. That's why I'm slow on the draw here.
Okay. What sketch show did Lorne Michaels produce in 1984 while away from Saturday Night Live?
Rick, is it No Soap Radio?
No.
I don't know the answer to that.
Called The New Show?
Yeah, I don't even know.
I got nothing.
No, I have nothing.
This is my favorite question ever. Who did, in fact, let the dogs out?
Rick, the Baja Men. Yeah.
Now, you're a wedding DJ.
The funny thing is, he says Rick is, you know, it makes your head turn, and then, you know, you have the answer in your head, but it's too late.
Oh, well, you know,
okay, whatever.
Blame your tools.
All right. Who shot JR?
Rick. It was Linda.
No.
Is that wrong?
Right. It's wrong.
Well, who is it, Mr. Smarty Man?
Well, I had it for a second there, but it was...
Sue. It was Sue Ellen.
Yeah. No, it wasn't.
Wasn't it?
No.
I got nothing.
She was married to him.
Would you shut your hole about who was married to who? God, I'm sucking wind.
I should know this for sure.
It's amazing that you can't beat me even in my
who
underperforming
shot
state.
J.R.
Okay, God. Kristen.
All right.
Kristen. What famous product jingle was created by the father of actress Juliana Margulies? These are the worst questions ever.
They are.
Okay. Who are three of the five actors to have played series-leading Starfleet captains?
Rick.
Yeah, I don't follow that sci-fi stuff.
Oh, please. Patrick Stewart, William Shatner, Avery Brooks.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Well, I knew two of them. Kinda.
What was the name of Foreigner's first single?
Oops. Got it. All right. I'm going to go with Hot Blooded, Check It and See.
No.
Ooh.
Jukebox Hero.
No.
All right.
Oh.
Feels like the first time.
Oh,
done with that.
Really?
I should have known that, too.
All right, let's do one more. You're behind. It doesn't matter.
Don't matter. I should have known that last one.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, what Madonna song name drops Dietrich and DiMaggio?
Rick.
DiMaggio.
That was me.
I think you beat me there.
Vogue.
You're right.
That is correct.
All right, that's okay.
I
Ted,
knew that one.
You're going to see Tim Conway and Harvey Korman.
Woo!
Fantastic. Woo!
Dumbest contest ever. This really is the worst installment ever of the worst contest ever. All right. Thank you, Ted. Scotty J is going to get your information. You are going to see Tim Conway tomorrow at the Schnitzer, MC by Tim Riley and myself, the farewell performance. So congratulations, my friend.
Thank you very much.
All right. There you go. I'm going to put you back in the box, and Scotty will get your information there.
Good job, Scotty J.
Good job, Scotty J. You know, even if you take that one away from me, I still beat him. Just, it's important that people know that.
Okay.
It's important that people know that contest was won by me, Rick Emerson. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
The person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you, my friend?
I'm not too bad. Real quick, the PS3, they both play Blu-ray DVDs, both versions.
You know, and that's the thing, we have to do this conversation. I really am under-caffeinated right now. This conversation tomorrow about the Blu-ray.
I'll write it down and I'll bring it up in the morning.
All right, thank you.
Speaking of things to bring up in the morning.
Yeah.
You get the O.J. Simpson's Rocket Slide to Hell. You just gave away the tickets, and Lisa Goddard was there.
Yep.
We didn't get the worst story ever. We didn't get the story of nerd fighting over the PS3.
Oh, well, we did. No, we did. Ed McCarthy talked
on nerds in line.
Ed McCarthy talked about how there was a fist fight among nerds.
I will give you that.
Damn straight you will. All right.
You know, okay. But you know, shame is on you, Rick Emerson, because it's such a high concept story. We still don't know it.
Yeah. Well, it is true. It'll be better if we actually. How do I put this? It doesn't have to do with movies, but it will be better if we do it with maybe Scott Daly at least coming in at some point tomorrow. We might not do it when he's here. But tomorrow will be a good day to do this high concept story. So we'll do that. Hey, I meant to ask you, you said you did see Borat, right? We talked about that earlier today? All right,
yeah.
Fantastic. Excellent. So
last night.
Really, I this is one of those shows that now Sarah hasn't seen it yet. Scotty probably hasn't. Sarah's the holdout, but you need to see it so that we can discuss it because then we won't have to tiptoe around.
We can't ruin it for other people.
No. Oh, people think tune out if they don't want to hear it. I mean, it's not what I'm going to get. Look, it's not. There's no twist. There isn't really anything to be giving away. The very few moments in the film that require the element of surprise. I mean, it really is just. It's a guy in a.
Yeah, but you're going to start talking about the funny parts, and then the scene will already be set up in my mind, and then it won't be as funny than if I was caught off guard.
No, but so I'm saying you need to see it. Then we can. I don't care about anybody else. You need to see it. Then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
They don't want to hear about it. They don't have to listen.
And honestly. Some of those funniest parts of the movie, you really can't discuss on the radio.
Oh, no. There are moments in the film that who was it that said, I think our friend Gia was saying this morning, that really there are some lines crossed in that film that you never really thought would be crossed. Just things that you never really thought you would smell. smell. You would see. I'm reading an email here about worst smell ever down downtown Newport, Oregon, near the fish packing plant.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Hey, let me ask you this. Speaking of smells, have you noticed this? That there's a terrible, terrible funk in downtown Portland on like 5th and Alder. You know what I thought? Right by the 5th Avenue Suites. There's a bus stop right there by the 5th Avenue Suites. There is the and it's just that one street. It is the worst smell. I mean, it's awful. It's terrible. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it smells of. Something bad.
I know what you're talking about, and yes, it does smell. It's right near, like, Kelly's Olympian.
Yeah, yeah, that area right there. There is just, but you
and
know,
it's
like,
always wet around there, too. It just smells like wet
it's
garbage.
Damp. It's fetid. Exactly. Yeah. You know what it is? It has the smell and general humidity of the bottom of your trash can when you take out the bag. That's what it's like down there.
Well, I know. Every time I go to Dante's, I park across the street on Burnside,
yeah.
And it's always right over there by that Salvation Army or whatever that is. Just the
totally.
Food. And God, the stench over there is bad.
Oh no, because and that's right. That's always right by some place where it's like you could, you know, watch three movies for a quarter. You know, one of those places. So, all right, my friend.
All right.
So where are we at today?
52.
Ah, good God! Am I really up 10 in just a couple days?
Yes.
Doesn't even seem right.
You were at 35 this time last week.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's like watching my weight fluctuate up and down on a scale and going, oh, but I remember when I was 172 pounds. And then, you know, you look and it's, those days are long gone. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend. We will speak with you tomorrow.
Talk to you in the morning.
There you go. This is Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Make a note of it because we'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. We got a Likas coming up at 3. Donna Mike coming up at 7 o'clock. 11 o'clock, the John and Jeff Show. Stephanie Miller tomorrow from 6 to 10. Tomorrow also, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio will be here.
Aaron coming with him?
I don't know the answer to that. Probably. I think Aaron's got a real job. Not that Scott doesn't, but I don't think Aaron can skate out. I think Scott's company thinks he's off doing something else when he's here on Fridays. But Scott Daly and I will be in tomorrow. And then tomorrow night, of course, Tim Riley and I will be emceeing the Tim Conway, Harvey Korman thing. And then Saturday's going to be Storm. Anyway, we'll see y'all tomorrow. We want to thank Lisa Goddard. We want to thank Ed McCarthy, Jim Roop, and Storm Large. The website is stormlarge.com. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down. Sarah Dillon produces the show. Scotty J. The BA. Tim Riley's in the newsroom. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Bye.